So this morning we're going to continue our Christmas Wonder of Wonders series, or the Wow, as I said to Phil the other week. You know, we've looked at the mystery of God in the flesh from 1 Timothy 3:16. Then we saw last Sunday night how the Lord became fully human to redeem humanity. And now we're going to see this morning Christ's humility and humanity found in this passage in Philippians 2, verses 5 through to 8. Philippians 2, verse 5 is the doorway into one of the richest passages about Christ. Folks, I'm sure it comes as no surprise, but we live in a world, don't we, that's obsessed with mindset. Business leaders, they talk about growth mindset in order to build resilience. Then there's the athletes who they train with a winning mindset. And then we have influencers who promote a positive mindset. Everyone wants and craves that right frame of mind to succeed. But Paul, writing to the Philippians, points to a mindset unlike any other. He doesn't say, think like a champion or think like a high-flying executive. He says in Philippians 2, think like Jesus. Think like Jesus, who laid aside his rights for others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. As Christians, we're not just called to believe in Christ, but we're called to think like Christ. So I guess this isn't so much an introduction, but more really an application. Paul is urging transformation at the deepest level, our thoughts and our motives. Imagine for a moment a CEO walks into his canteen, and he rolls up his sleeves, and without hesitation, he begins to wipe the tables down, and he empties all the rubbish. And then the staff, as they arrive, they're stunned. What's he doing? Why is he doing that? Folks, surely a chief executive would have more important things to be doing. But the CEO replies, I want you to see what leadership looks like. It's about serving. Now, this picture can unsettle us because it overturns our expectations, I guess, of power. And yet, it's really only a faint echo of what Paul describes here in Philippians 2. Paul, writing after the resurrection, proclaims Jesus' full divinity and his humility. And the contrast is rather incredible. Jesus could demand that every knee shall bow, yet instead he washes feet. He heals the broken. And he gives up his life. Paul's point is clear. This is not just theology to admire, but it's a mindset to adopt. Folks, make no mistake, the mind of Christ is the pattern for the church. It's the remedy for arrogance, for division, for selfishness, for self-importance, for pride. It's an invitation to a life of joyful service, unity, and togetherness. So before we rush past verse 5, let's just think really carefully about applying it. What would it mean for us to think, live, and serve like Jesus Christ? What would it mean for us to carry his humility into our relationships? Paul's challenge is clear. Look back, if you've got your Bibles open, at verse 5 of Philippians 2 again. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. If the chief executive of the multi-million pound organization emptying the bins perhaps unsettles you, then what about Christ? How much more should the humility of Christ reshape the way we think? Paul calls us to adopt the mind of Christ. But what does that look like? Well, he doesn't leave us guessing. He follows it up with a vivid picture. And in the time that we've left this morning, let's look together at verses 6, 7, and 8. So let's consider the first point this morning. Jesus came in the form of God. Let's read verses 5 and 6 together. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Verse 6 reminds us of the heights from which our Lord came. Look what it says. He was in the form of God. Jesus was equal to God. This does not mean that he had like the shell of God, like some sort of facade. Folks, the point is that Christ is completely God. He is the essence of God. The NIV translation maybe provides a slightly better meaning. Being in very nature, God, is what the NIV says. His form, his essence, his nature is God. Jesus is God. And as God, he's worthy of great honor, great praise, and great worship. He's supreme and possesses all authority. He's the image of the invisible God. Colossians 1, 15 to 20 gives us a great explanation of who Jesus is. If you want to turn to that, please do, but I'll read those verses to you. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Although Jesus was and is fully God, he did not abuse his divine status. He didn't cling to his rights or his position for personal gain. Instead, he chose the path of sacrifice, submission, surrender. Paul reminds us in verse 3, of Philippians 2, we're to avoid selfish ambition. And then he says, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Folks, Christ embodied this perfectly. His mindset was one of self-giving, not self-seeking. Maybe picture a father coming home after a long day at work. He's shattered. And he has every right to collapse into his chair and maybe demand quiet. He's every right to expect his children to serve him. But instead, he kneels down on the floor. He picks up the toys that are surrounding him. And then without hesitation, he begins playing with the children at their level. He listens to their stories, he ties their shoes, and he even cleans up after them. He could have insisted on his rights as the head of the household, but he chose to lay them aside for the sake of love. Folks, his authority wasn't used for grasping, but forgiving. That's the heart of Philippians 2. That's what Paul is showing us here. Though Jesus is God, he didn't cling to his rights or use his power for gain. He stooped low. He entered our world. He served us, and he gave his life for us. Just as that father's humility reshapes the atmosphere of his home, Christ's humility reshapes the way we live and love. Though he is God, he refused to use his authority for selfish advantage. He didn't come to grasp or to hoard, but to pour out generosity and service. This is the wonder of the incarnation. Jesus did not stop being God when he became man. He remained fully divine. He accepted our limitations to save us. Folks, the way Jesus thinks and lives is meant to shape us. We're not to live for ourselves, but for the good of others. Which leads us nicely onto the second point this morning. Jesus took on the form of a servant. Verses 6 through to 7 read, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So there we have it in verse 7. Paul says that Jesus emptied himself. Some translations record that Jesus made himself nothing. And this phrase is a Greek idiom meaning to lay aside or surrender one's rights. It's used elsewhere in Scripture to describe depriving oneself of privileges. One such place is 1 Corinthians 9, verse 15. It reads, but I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision. For I'd rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. Folks, Jesus willingly gave up the rights he could have claimed as God. Just think about that for a moment. You know, when he was mocked, when he was beaten, when he was spat at, and then when he was crucified, he did not call upon his divine authority to stop it. He took it. He chose not to exercise his liberties as God. Instead, he set them aside and he embraced what looked like weakness and insignificance. Folks, let's be clear. This did not mean that he ceased to be God. Paul's not describing a loss of divinity for a voluntary sacrifice of rights. Jesus emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant and became fully man. And humanity, by its nature, is very limiting compared to the glory of God. Yet he accepted those limitations for our sake. You know, how wonderful is that? Paul's words in verse 7 are astonishing. They're simply staggering. The king became a servant. The one who spoke creation into existence chose to stoop low, not demanding honor, but washing feet. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. He didn't merely act like a servant occasionally. He embraced servanthood. Every miracle, every meal, every word was service flowing from divine love. Jesus sacrificed everything for the sake of those he loved. He gave up his rights, his privileges, his glory, and he embraced the limitations, the suffering, and ultimately death. Folks, make no mistake this morning, his servanthood was not symbolic. It was costly. This is the gospel in a nutshell. The highest became the lowest. The Lord became the slave. The eternal Son became the servant. And Paul says, this is the mindset we are called to adopt. It's like a king who leaves his throne and dresses as a common worker. He spends the day serving his people, carrying water, tending to the fields, etc., etc. You know, he's every right to command, but instead he chooses to serve. And that's what Jesus did, but infinitely greater. Jesus did all things, everything. So if Jesus took on the form of a servant, we must do the same. We can't cling to our pride, our privileges, our position in society. To have the mind of Christ means three things in this point. Serving in our homes, even when tired. You know, true servanthood begins where we are most comfortable. And for most people, that's at home. After a long day, it's easy to demand rest or respect or expect others to meet our needs. Yet Christ calls us to lay aside our rights and serve those close to us. It's like helping when tired, listening with patience when really you'd rather just tune out. It's choosing kindness instead of irritation. These small acts count for everything. Humility changes the atmosphere just like Christ's humility changed the world. We should also serve in our workplaces, even when unnoticed. Work often tempts us to chase recognition, promotions, maybe even applause. But the mind of Christ teaches us to serve faithfully even when nobody sees. It means doing your best, being respectful and showing integrity and honesty. Folks, let's not forget, Jesus washed feet, an act nobody wanted to do. In the same way, we're called to embrace the unnoticed tasks. We must trust that God sees and honors humble service. And then thirdly, we should be serving in our churches, even when it costs us. Church life is not about position or privilege. It's about servanthood. Serving may mean giving up time, energy, or resources, even when it feels perhaps costly. It may mean stepping into some roles that are hidden or thankless, but this is precisely where the mind of Christ is revealed. He gave everything for his people. And when we serve sacrificially, we reflect his love to the body of Christ and to the watching world. Folks, the Son of God became a servant so that we might be set free. Now he calls us to walk in his footsteps, reflecting his humility to all, which leads us to the third and final point this morning. Jesus became humble and obedient. Look there at verse 8. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. In verse 8 there, Paul tells us plainly, Jesus humbled himself. He displayed his humility through an obedience that led him to death. And not just any death, but the shameful, agonizing death of the cross. He didn't endure this for his own benefits, but for us, for ours. Folks, in every single step, he placed our needs above his own. Though he's God, he chose to treat us more important. Wow. You know, I can't labor the point enough. Jesus laid down his life for our sake. He counted others as more significant. Now that is real humility. He chose the path of humility. He stooped below the people he created. And his humility wasn't passive. It was active obedience. He submitted fully to the Father's will, even when that obedience led him to the suffering and death. He obeyed not halfway, but all the way to the cross. Crucifixion was the most shocking death imaginable in the Roman world. Yet Jesus accepted it freely. His obedience was costly, his humility profound. This is the heart of the gospel. The eternal Son of God stooped low. He stooped low, obeyed perfectly, and bore the shame of the cross for us. His humility was not weakness, it was strength. His obedience was not defeat, it was victory. Maybe it's like a soldier who could have stayed behind the lines, but instead he obeyed the call to go forward, laying down his life for others. His obedience cost him everything, but it brought freedom to those he served. If Jesus became humble and obedient, then his followers cannot cling to pride or resist God's call. To have the mind of Christ means choosing humility in our relationships. Folks, humility is not weakness. It's strength under control. In our marriages, humility means listening before speaking. In our friendships, it means putting aside the need to win arguments. In our workplaces, humility means treating colleagues with respect. Just as Christ stooped low to serve, we are called to lay down our pride. To have the mind of Christ also means obeying God, even when it costs us comfort and or reputation. Obedience is not always convenient. It may mean standing for truth when it's unpopular. It may mean forgiving even when bitterness feels better. Jesus obeyed all the way to the cross. He did not stop when it got painful. Likewise, our obedience may lead us into places of sacrifice, but it's in those moments that our faith shines the brightest. Having the mind of Christ means trusting the path of obedience, the one which leads to life and glory. The cross was not the end of Christ's story. Resurrection and exaltation followed. In the same way, our obedience, though costly, is never wasted. Folks, God promises that those who humble themselves will be lifted high. When we surrender our pride, our comfort and control, we discover the joy. The path may be steep, but walking in God's will leads us to glory. Jesus humbled himself and obeyed, even to death on a cross. If that is the path he walked, then it's the path we're called to follow. And the promise is sure. The God who exalted his Son will also lift up his children who walk in his footsteps. So as we close, what can we learn from this passage? Well, we've walked quite... Ooh, that's quite important. Excuse me. We've walked through Paul's very vivid portrayal of Jesus in these verses in Philippians. Through these verses, we've been brought to the very heart of the gospel. Jesus came in the form of God. He's fully divine. the image of the invisible God, supreme over all creation. Yet he did not cling to his rights or exploit his position for selfish gain. Instead, he chose surrender. He chose submission. He chose sacrifice. Secondly, Jesus took on the form of a servant. The king became a servant. He emptied himself. He laid aside his privileges. He embraced limitations and lived among us in humility. Folks, remember once more, his servanthood wasn't symbolic, it was costly. Jesus became humble and obedient. His humility led him all the way to the cross. He obeyed the Father perfectly, even to death. He treated us more significantly, laying down his life for our sake. This is the gospel in motion. Descend into humility, ascend into glory. This was the path Christ took, from glory to servanthood to the cross. But it didn't end there. Look at verse 9. God exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. The way up is down. Jesus stooped low so that we could be lifted high. The path to greatness is service. The road to glory is humility. Jesus humbled himself so that we could be reconciled to God. Folks, he obeyed unto death so that we might share in his life. And Paul says, let this mind be in you. Have the mind of Christ. The way Jesus thinks, the way he lives, is meant to shape us. We're not to live for ourselves, but for the good of others. We're not to cling to pride or privileges, but to serve in humility. We're not to resist obedience, but to trust the path which leads to glory. So, family, the call is clear. Follow the path of Christ. Think like him. Live like him. Serve like him. For when we walk in his humility, we share in his exaltation.